Hello, and welcome to the Heavenbound Podcast. My name is Jason Harden. I'm here with Roger Shouse, and we are opening the Bible in search of fuel for your spiritual journey. This is where we talk about life the way it was meant to be and what it means to be a disciple of Jesus in the 21st century. We appreciate you joining us on the journey. Roger, we are nearly done for the year.
Hard to believe that.
Hard to believe. We have just a couple of Fridays left. We're actually going to take off Friday, December 25th. But before that, we've got just a little two-part series today, and Lord willing, next Friday, where we're going to talk about living with Plan B.
Plan B. You know, the very idea is that we want Plan A, but what happens sometimes in life is Plan B. And for a lot of our listeners, that's been 2020. Your kitchen table has become the office desk, or your kitchen table has become the school desk. And boy, the way this year started off, it's not the way it ended. And you might have had vacations that were planned out, but they were canceled. Thanksgiving wasn't the way you wanted to be. And all these activities, all these shows, all these ball games, everything has just been changed. And that's true of life. Sometimes we set off in life with all these expectations. I'm going to do this and do this and do this. And then we're set with Plan B. And that can really set people back. And so what we want to talk about in this first part here is the idea of how to live when Plan A doesn't work and you're faced with Plan B. And I think a great passage I want to begin with is here in the parable of Jesus, the parable of the sower. A lot of us know this. In Matthew 13, he said in verse 4, as he sowed some seeds fell beside the road, the birds came and ate them up. And sometimes those birds take those seeds as they fly and they drop them. And we see this particularly here in southern Indiana, northern Kentucky area. We're driving on the highway where it's been cut through the rocks. And there's a tree sticking out of those rocks. And we just see it. We don't give a lot of thought to it. But you ever wonder how that tree got there? There was no city planner thinking, hey, you know what, let's plant some trees inside these rocks. Or some board highwaymen said, let's just plant some trees. Now, what happened is the seed fell, and there happened to be enough soil, enough sunlight and moisture that tree just took off and grew right there. And that's what our life is sometimes. We in high school and college, I'm going to marry this beautiful girl. She's a Christian. I'm a Christian. We're going to have a boatload of kids. They're going to get scholarships because of sports and scholarships because of academics. They're going to give me a zillion grandkids. I'm going to sit on my front porch and just enjoy life. That's how we dream it out. But that beautiful girl won't even go out with you on a date. Or those kids don't know the difference between a basketball and a hockey puck. And those kids can't spell. They're not. And life doesn't turn out that way. And we see that in our Bible. There's Job. And at the very first of Job, there he is. All those sheep and all those goats and all those children. Life is good. But at the end of chapter 1, there's Job and there's 10 new graves where his kids once lived. Life didn't turn out the way he wanted it to be. Same thing could be said of Abraham. Abraham living in Ur, all his family around him, life is good, and one day God calls him and says, you're leaving. You're leaving and going to a place I'm not even going to tell you. And that could be said of Noah. Noah was just doing what he's doing, and then one day God told him to start building this ark, and then he got in that ark, and a year later, everything changed. And that could be said of the Apostle Paul. We get to the book of Philippians chapter 4, and Paul said he got to speak to Caesar's household. And we think, wouldn't that be an honor? Wouldn't it be an honor to go to the White House and preach to the president or go to the Senate and preach to all them? But the journey that got Paul to Caesar's household began way back in the book of Acts, where he's beaten and thrown in prison. And then he appeals to Caesar, and he's put on the boat, and the boat shipwrecks. It goes to an island. He's bitten by a poisonous snake. Just disaster after disaster after disaster. Finally, he's in Rome. He's in a jail, and there he gets to do these things. And so Plan B is oftentimes what happens to us. You may have a child. You've been looking forward to this child for 9 months, and he's born with a disability. You may have a death of a mate much sooner than you're anticipating. You may have parents who are now in nursing homes. You may have lost your job through the crazy year we've had. Things may not have turned out as you wanted them to be.
And it's going to be a question in that moment, right, of what am I going to do now? I cannot change the circumstances around me. What sort of character and endurance and faith am I going to bring to the equation? Roger, what stands out to me as you listed several of those men of faith, and we could just as easily add a whole list of women of faith, Ruth and Deborah and Esther and Mary. These are women, just as surely as men, whose lives did not turn out the way that undoubtedly they were anticipating. But to return to that analogy of a little tree on the side of a cliff, if you notice, a lot of times you can see just as much of the roots of that tree as the trunk and the branches and the leaves, right? You see those roots because those roots have fought to thrive and they are hanging on to rock. I want you to picture that in your mind. You've seen it before. A tree that is on the very edge of a cliff or a sheer face of rock. And yes, it's going up, but you see the roots that are fighting and holding on to the side of that rock. That's what those men and women of faith did. That's why today we know their names, which means Plan B is not the end of the story, right? I maybe am unable to go back to Plan A. Maybe that door has been shut and Plan B is what I have. But I need to bring faith and character and endurance into the equation.
And two things come up immediately with this. First of all, when Plan B happens, it tells us, number one, we're not in charge.
Yeah.
We've never been in charge. Sometimes we think we are because everything's going the way I want it to go. And I wanted this to happen, and this happened, this time I graduated, I want to go to this school, I want this to happen, this. Everything's just mapping out exactly as I want it to be. And it's easy for us to think we're in a driver's seat, but we're really not. Secondly, it's important for us to realize that our Plan A in life oftentimes is not God's Plan A for us.
Yeah.
God has something else in mind for us. And it may not be what we even thought about or what we even wanted, but God is always right. And God has some things in mind for us that may put us in better positions with Him than anything else. And that helps us to keep that before us. And so when we think about this idea, much to what Jason said, when life does not turn out the way that we want it to be, we're at the crossroads. We can just sit down and quit and say, no more. You know, there's a time in Paul's life when he wanted to go to Asia to preach, and the Holy Spirit said no. Well, Paul could have just said, okay, I'm done. I quit as an apostle. Here's my resignation. But he didn't do that. It was not the Plan A that God wanted him to do. And so when we see these things, our character, our faith, what's within us really is what matters the most.
Yeah, it makes me think of, for instance, the book of Psalms. Psalm 137 is one that comes to my mind. I love the Psalms because it's like our souls working to find those roots that can sink into the rock, right? There is every range of emotion in the Psalms. In Psalm 137, we're given a front row seat to God's people looking for a Plan B, right? Here they are by the waters of Babylon, and they're crying as they remember Zion, and their captors are saying, well, sing us the songs of Zion. And they've got a choice. In that moment, are we going to keep singing? Are we going to keep praising God? Are we going to listen, for instance, to the prophet Jeremiah, who says, okay, you're going to be here for a while. Build houses. Seek the welfare of the city where God has put you. This isn't the way you thought your life was going to be, but life is not over. Let's process these emotions through lenses provided by God. We talked a little bit about that this past Sunday and even on our Wednesday podcast. and trust. You may have had a rude reminder that you're not in charge, but you do know the one who is.
So let's talk about two or three ways we can deal with this, you know, and a lot of it is based upon our faith and our attitude. I love the old story about these two shoe salesmen who were sent to Africa, and one guy called back and said, send me home because everyone's barefoot down here. The other guy called back and said, send more help because everyone's barefoot down here. And so how you look at things, your attitude has so much to do with this. Yeah. So one of the first lessons we learn is that there's always things I can do. Things may not be the way I wanted them to be. And so I can sit down and quit or find what I can do. So the Apostle Paul, as we journey through his life, he didn't have a congregation stand in front of. So what did he do? He preached to prisoners. That became his congregation. Sometimes you can't do what you want to do. You find other things that you can do. I love the statement here in Revelation 3, verse 4, about the church of Sardis. They had a problem. There's lots of things that were not right there. But in verse 4, it says, but you have a few people in Sardis who have not soiled their garments, and they will walk with me in white, for they are worthy. I hear that from people all the time. I wish I was in a different congregation. I wish our congregation was larger. I wish there was more opportunity. Our congregation is not doing what your congregation is doing. And things like that. Well, you can just sit down and complain and cry, or you can do what you can do. I wish this congregation was more friendly. Well, do what you can do about that. I wish there was more connections. Well, do what you can do about that. And I think that's one of the first things we have to look at as we consider this plan B in life. God has moved you to some place, and he wants you to do what you can about that. Second thing that we need to realize as we think about this lesson is that understand that you're here for a reason. All of us are here for a reason. Evolution would tell us that we're just a mistake, we're just a process. The God of heaven has made you for a reason, and he's put you here for a reason. God has appointed the time of our lives. The reason why we live in this time period and not other time periods is because of the design of God. And so God has talented you. God has gifted you with certain things. You can do what other people cannot do. And so you need to understand that I'm here for a particular reason. That was the message Mordecai told Esther. Who knows that you're not here for this particular reason? She would never have thought of earlier that she's going to be the savior of the Jewish people at that time. But she was in that position, and she used it in the right way to do what she could do.
Yeah, that goes back to trust, right? Joseph couldn't see in the moment why in the world plan B was Egypt, right? Esther could not see in the moment why in the world she could possibly have any impact for good when murderous Haman was trying to eliminate an entire people group from the face of the planet. When we're in the middle of that disruption, it's really hard for us to see what possible good can come from that. But that's one of the tremendous blessings of the Bible, that we've got the stories as a whole. We're studying them in hindsight.
And so to understand, I'm here for a reason. Maybe you're working at a place and it's very toxic. And you say, you know, I wish I worked somewhere. I wish I worked where everyone was Christian. I wish I worked where... Maybe God has put you there to be the light of the world for those people. Maybe within your family, there's not very many Christians. And you say, you know what? I wish everyone in my family was Christian. I wish we just got along, but we seem to fight like dogs and cats. And maybe God has put you there for that particular reason, to show people grace and forgiveness in Jesus Christ. And so sometimes what we want in life is the easy way and the simple way. But sometimes God puts us in these places so we can let our light shine and understand that I'm here for a purpose and I need to do those things. Then I think a third lesson through all this we need to remind ourselves is that God's counting on you. We need to see that. God's working with you. The book of 1 Corinthians 3, Paul would say that Paul planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. God didn't do the increase without the seed getting in the soil. So they had to do the planting and the watering, but God was there to work with us. God won't do our work, we won't do God's work, but we partner with God. And so God is counting on you and to have you to be what you should be. So when we get to the places like the book of 1 Peter, there Peter talks about wives who husbands are not Christians. And later in life, you can think, you know, I wish I made a better choice. My husband's not a Christian. It's difficult. But what does Peter do? He lays down some principles to try to lead those people to Jesus Christ. God's counting on you. God needs you to be what you can be in these places.
Yeah, he does the same thing with servants and masters, right? It would be easy at that point in history. Maybe business dealings had not gone the way that I had hoped they would. And so I find myself in servitude to pay off some debt. And I've got a master that is just rotten. And over again, the Holy Spirit leads men like Paul to emphasize, don't discount the good that you can do. If you're willing to be that light in the darkness, if you're willing to be the salt of the earth that is distinct and standing out from its surroundings, never, ever discount the power of the gospel and a good, authentic example.
You know, one thing we learn about trees, particularly out west when there's been some fires, the trees that survive are stronger and they rebound faster than trees that never had any turmoil or trouble. And so God's counting on you. He's counting on you to raise your family to know Jesus Christ. He's counting on you to make a difference wherever your world is, to be that light and to have the right spirit and the attitude. This year is ending with a lot of negative people. A lot of people are just kind of disgusted with this world, and you can be that hope that God wants us to see. Powerful in the book of 1 Peter in chapter 3, as Peter reminds us of the difference that we can make in this world. He would say in chapter 3 of 1 Peter and in verse 15, again, just reminding us of these great truths, he says, but sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts. That's the first point there. Jesus is the Lord of my heart. I've got to make that first. Always being ready to make a defense to everyone who asks you to give an account for the hope that's in you, yet with gentleness and reverence. Now, what that passage is not saying is you have to be able to answer every Bible question ever asked. That doesn't say that. What's saying is people see hope in you, and they're asking about that hope. I'm hopeless, but you have hope. I'm negative, but you're positive. I'm complaining, but you're praising. Why are you like that? That's what Peter's saying. And what Peter's saying is the world recognizes. Peter is showing that people notice that about you. You're walking with hope. You're walking with Jesus. And that's the difference that you can make in this world.
Yeah, I think it's important to add to that thread of thought. It doesn't mean that you're perfect, that you've never made a mistake, right? We know the story of Peter. One of the things that I appreciate the most in my fellow disciples is when they have a past. They know they have a past. Others know that they have a past, but they use that past and the hope now, the grace that God has shown them to unashamedly draw attention to the amazing grace of Jesus. Just because we have stumbled in the past doesn't mean that, well, now we can't do good in the present, right? We've got perhaps unique opportunities to share with others. Listen, I've made a lot of bad decisions in my life, and some of the plan B's turned into C's and D's because of my own stubbornness and my rebellion. But let me tell you about the God who welcomed me home.
And also to that, sometimes you get enough miles on those tires in your life, you look back and say, you know what? That plan B was a better plan.
Yeah.
When if you had talked to me in high school, first, second year of college, the idea of me sitting behind a microphone right now talking about the Bible wasn't in my plan at all. But now I look all these years later, that was the best thing ever for me. And so that's what happens sometimes. Sometimes how we see things ought to be isn't really the best. And even in difficulties, There's a way in which it can make our hearts closer to God and be what God wants us to be through these things. And so let me end with a little story. These are actually the lyrics of a song. I love this song. This is done a long time ago by the group Peter, Paul, and Mary. And it's kind of an obscure song that I found, and I could relate to it. It's about baseball, which I love so much. And the words simply say, Saturday summers when I was a kid, we'd run to the schoolyard and here's what we did. We'd pick out the captains and we'd choose up the teams. It was always a measure of my self-esteem, 'cause the fastest, the strongest played shortstop and first. The last ones they picked were the worst. I never needed to ask, it was sealed. I took up my place in right field. And then the chorus says, right field, it's easy, you know. You can be awkward, you can be slow. That's why I'm here in right field, just watching the dandelions grow. Playing right field can be lonely and dull. Little leagues never have lefties that can pull. I dream of the day they'd hit one my way. They never did, but still I would pray that I'd make a fantastic catch on the run and not lose the ball in the sun. And then I'd wake from this long reverie and pray that the ball never came out to me. Off in the distance, the game's dragging on. There's strikes on the batter, some runners are on. I don't know the inning, I've forgotten the score. The whole team is yelling, I don't know what for. Then suddenly everyone's looking at me. My mind has been wondering, what could it be? They point to the sky and I look up above and a baseball falls into my glove. Here in right field, it's important, you know. You gotta know how to catch. You gotta know how to throw. That's why I'm here in right field, just watching the dandelions grow.
That's a great, great little reminder that maybe, just maybe, we need to be thankful for Plan Bs. Thankful that they unfold in our lives. And there's been a lot of Plan Bs this year, but God has been with us every step of the way. Roger, any closing thoughts for the day?
No, just to realize that, you know, don't get discouraged when things don't work out the way you think they should. You need to remind yourselves what God expects of you never changes, and you need to see what opportunities are before you. And who would have thought a teenage boy watching the sheep out in Judea would someday be the king of Israel? His name was David. And who knows, 10, 20 years from now, if the Lord allows, what's going to happen to your life? But if you're walking with the Lord, and you're doing what he says, great things can happen even to you.
Yeah, we need to be ready for those opportunities, right? Ready for that ball to hit our glove. Roger, thanks for joining me today. Thanks to all of you for listening to the Heaven Bound podcast. Lord willing, we'll wrap up this little two-part series next Friday, but we hope that today's first episode in that series has helped you set your mind on things above, giving you a little more fuel as you head into this weekend. Always remember, when you're walking with Jesus, you're heaven bound, and the best is yet to come.